The way that we approach content is we start with the algorithms. We start with the control mechanisms that actually determine how much reach or who you reach with your content. Without the ability to capture somebody's attention, even just for 3 seconds, there's no way that you can really accomplish the goals that you set out to, because it's just going to fall flat and people are going to ignore it. It's like you should be in the mindset of, how can I create a model that I'm thinking about how much money can I spend into this until it stops working for me? So the concept of generating 1 million followers in 30 days was a hook to bring people in so that I can teach them what they really need to know in order to be successful in this new medium. I deem myself successful when I can do what I love to do every day.
Hi, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. I just want to take a moment to say thank you for being part of our mission. Thank you for leading with the heart and having the courage to go out in the world and live a full life. Thank you for being kind, thank you for being open, and thank you for being you. I could never do this without you and all the incredible people that share so open-heartedly on the show. The journey continues, and as you know by now, our mission is to help at least 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I'm super excited to sit down with Brendan Kane in his private residence in West Hollywood to share his journey as a marketer and human being. Brendan has worked with many amazing people, such as Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Exhibit, and supermodel Adriana Lima, just to name a few. He's most recently known for generating 1 million followers in 100 plus countries in less than 30 days and writing a best-selling book about it called 1 Million Followers, breaking down exactly how he did it. Let's welcome Brendan Kane.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I should say thank you. I know you're super busy. You invited me to your private home. I truly appreciate that. Just here today to share kind of your journey, what you have done, because it's super cool, and see if we can help our audience. So can we just start a little bit short with your early life? Where did you grow up, and how did you become fascinated by like social media marketing and that kind of thing?
So I grew up in Chicago, and you know, people often ask me, you know, when did I know I was an entrepreneur? And just looking back on it, I can see at the age of like 6 or 7 walking around the neighborhood banging on people's doors trying to sell my toys. I don't know that I obviously at that point didn't know what that meant, and I don't think I really knew what it meant until later in life. But where I initially got into social media is I went to film school because I wanted to learn the business side of film, and quickly realized that they don't teach you anything about business in film school. So I figured the best way to really learn about business is to start your own. And the most cost-efficient way at the time is to start an internet company, and it still holds true today. So while I was going to college, I started a few internet companies really just to learn and experiment and understand what it takes to create and build a business. And then when I moved to Los Angeles in 2005, to pursue a career in film, that's when the entertainment industry started to reawaken to digital after the dot-com bust. And I've built the better part of my career, and the reason I have success is I always look at it of how can I provide unique value to different people in order to stand out and overcome the noise and overcome the clutter. And I just saw an opportunity that there was a lot of high-profile people in the film industry asking questions about how do we leverage digital media, how do we leverage technology and social platforms to effectively promote our films. And I just leveraged that knowledge I gained in creating those companies, those internet companies in college, to really get my foot in the door, forge connections, get projects, all of that. And once I got into it, I just saw that there was a larger opportunity in the direction of digital and social than pursuing a career in film. From both just a scalability perspective, but also from a creativity perspective, because film, most people look at it from the outside and think it's this glamorous thing, but it's a very slow and political moving corporation. Yeah. So that's where I made that shift and going in that direction.
Awesome. So where do you see, where do you see this going with the whole, like there's so much things going on online. I think you said it yourself, it's like 60 billion messages, right? And notifications and every day on social platforms. Like, how do we like truly stand out in this clutter of everything, right?
Well, it's interesting you ask that question because that's my second book that's coming out after the back the first of the year. That it's called Hook Point: How to Stand Out in a 3-Second World. Because to your point, we live in a world where there's such micro attention because there's so much information that's pushed to us. So where my head goes to, and this is not just online, but this is offline as well, is how can you really grab somebody's attention in less than 3 seconds? Because that's the biggest challenge, is once you have their attention, then it gets easier to tell your story, to get people to buy into who you are or what you're about or why you do what you do. Like, for example, like Simon Sinek's book about why.
Yeah.
It's awesome and the information's awesome, but if you can't get somebody to stop for 3 seconds, they're not gonna care about your why. And that's the biggest thing that I've realized that I can help the most people with, is understanding how to capture that attention in the first 3 seconds. Now, in terms of how you do that, I mean, that's why I'm writing a whole book on it, because there's a whole framework that we've developed around it. I will give kind of one exercise amongst many exercises to just give you an analogy of what that can look like. So one of the things that we do when I work with people in a strategy day or a workshop setting is I give them this exercise to say, imagine that you're given the cover of a magazine in your specific niche, and the editor's calling and they're saying, you're given this cover, you're the only person on this cover. What is the headline that you want to represent you, your story, your product, your service? And when thinking about that headline, imagine your core customers walking down a busy street with all of the noise of cabs honking, people crashing into you, and then they're walking past a magazine stand. And your magazine is amongst 50 other magazines. So what is that headline that's literally going to make somebody stop on a busy street, pick up that magazine, buy it, and read it? Because that's the difficulty of the world that we live in today. But in doing that exercise, you don't just come up with one. We ask you to come up with as many as you can. And when you've come up with as many as you can, then you push yourself beyond that limit and just keep coming up and pushing yourself. Because what we'll do is we'll take that list, narrow it down to 4 or 5 of the best, and then we'll go off and test it and let, you know, the core audience that we're trying to reach tell us whether or not we're hitting that mark and grabbing their attention. But that's just at a high level how I kind of think about things. I will say that especially with digital, the mistake that people make when they're creating content is most people are just thinking about themselves when they're creating content. Yeah. The other bucket of people that typically struggle is they just think about the audience. The way that we approach content is we start with the algorithms. We start with the control mechanisms that actually determine how much reach or who you reach with your content. Then secondarily, we think about the audience. And then third, we think about ourselves and what we want to say. So it's really kind of approaching communication and messaging in a different way based upon the environment that we live in today.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if we talk about like smaller businesses that want to create like an online platform to get people offline and or buy online, what would you say, what can they do without having like a huge budget or being super professional in this field?
Well, it's the same principle. It's you've got to figure out how you grab somebody's attention in a way that makes you stand out from all of the clutter and the noise. And generally what people do is they look at competition as a direct competition. So if I'm a dry cleaner, you feel like you're just competing against other dry cleaners. But in the world that we live in today with social media or any type of platform, you're not just fighting against other dry cleaners, you're fighting against every piece of content that's posted on email, text, social media, because you have to grab that attention. So one of the best places that I recommend people start is do competitive analysis of what are the competitors in your marketplace. Again, it doesn't have to be direct competitors. So if you're a dry cleaner, look at the local restaurants, look at other services in your market and see what they're doing from an advertising perspective. One of the tools that we use a lot that's open to the public and it's free is the Facebook Ad Library. They came out after the issues with Cambridge Analytica because they want to have more transparency. And with the Facebook Ad Library, you can look at a page or a brand or even a keyword and see all of the active ads that are being run against that. So what you can start doing is, and again, if you're in a local market, you can go study competitors that are in different markets. It doesn't have to be specifically your market, or maybe there's a franchise that's national that you can look at. But getting a sense of what other people are doing first can guide you on where to start. So if you're dealing with a limited budget, doing that competitive analysis where will limit your learning curve and will give you the opportunity to see or to guess, okay, this person's running these 10 ads. This is why I think these are working or maybe not working. And then from there, you can make an assessment of, okay, what is the piece of content that I want to create? And again, you don't have to spend a lot of money to create content. Like you could start out with your iPhone. You could hire somebody off of Upwork for $5 or $10 an hour to create content. And then seed it out there with small budgets to test to see if you generate the reaction you're looking for, whether that's a lead, getting them to pick up their phone and call you, or to purchase your product or service, and make sure that you have your numbers down of what you can pay to acquire a customer and see if you can go off and acquire that customer for that dollar amount. And if you can, then you just incrementally scale and incrementally grow. Because people oftentimes, when they're thinking about budget, they're saying, well, my budget is $1,000 a month, or it's $100 a month, or whatever that is. I can't go over that. I honestly don't like that line of thinking at all. It's like, you should be in the mindset of, how can I create a model that I'm thinking about how much money can I spend into this until it stops working for me?
Yeah. That's awesome. And I want to talk a little bit, obviously you share this many times, but we're going to dig a little bit deeper. But can we just say, like, why did you decide to, hey, I'm going to show that I can get a million followers and then I'm going to share that with the world? Can we just get the backstory?
It was a hook point. It was a way to stand out. I knew I could do it. It was a matter of why I should do it.
So you had a plan already before?
I knew I had a plan that I knew I could do it.
Yeah.
And it was, again, and this is a big part of when I work with people in business strategy or social media strategies, why are you going to take a specific action? Why are you going to generate a million followers? Yeah. Like, what does that mean to you, to your life, to your business? Because that's going to be the driving factor that keeps you going till the end, until you achieve that goal. Yeah. So for me, I knew I wanted to get more into thought leadership, to teach, to speak, to inspire people. And I had been thinking about doing a book for a long time, but I didn't have a strong enough hook. I didn't feel like I had something that was unique enough that could stand out. And when I understood that I could do this million followers in 30 days, I called up a literary agent, a very prominent literary agent, and said, okay, this is an idea I have. If I do this, will you sign me and can you get me a publishing deal? And he said, yes. So that's the reason at the end of the day I did it, because I knew it would give me a platform. And again, it was a hook. There is a big difference between saying, hey, here's social media strategy, or I'll teach you how to grow fast, or I'm a social media expert or a social media strategist, than 0 to 1 million followers in 30 days. Yeah. It's just a huge difference. I mean, we put out a video before the book even came out of me talking about generating 1 million followers in 30 days, and 16,000 people applied to work with me off of that. So to me, again, it was done by design. It was done on purpose as a hook to bring people into a larger conversation and to teach them what they really need to know. Because at the end of the day, the book, yes, I break down how I generated 1 million followers. But at the end of the day, the book is teaching you the fundamentals of what it takes to be successful on social platforms, on all social platforms. And I don't just provide my techniques. I provide experts from around the world on how they grow. Because I think one of the biggest disservices with social media agencies or experts is they just claim there's only one way to grow, there's one way to do things. And that's just not the case. It's not the case in anything, especially in social media or digital. So the concept of generating 1 million followers in 30 days was a hook to bring people in so that I can teach them what they really need to know in order to be successful in this new medium.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you think you can, give us a couple of tools? Let's say people are listening now, they have an Instagram account, they want to make it bigger so they can impact more people. Like, what would be, of course they should read 1 million followers, but what would be like the good little nuggets that they can start with right now?
The first thing you've got to start with is, why are you doing it? Yeah. What is it you're trying to achieve, and what does it mean to you if you achieve that goal? Because this is hard work. It's not gonna, listen, we break down to the books, and I can break down some fundamentals now of how to be successful with it, but it takes work, it takes time, it takes testing. And if you don't have that solid foundation of why you're doing what you're doing, ultimately you're gonna give up. Because I run into it so many times of, why am I doing this? Why should I keep doing this? And it all comes back to why, my underlying why, and that's what fuels me through the difficult times. And another aspect that people get wrong oftentimes with specifically social followers, and one of the questions that I ask them is, are you looking to sell product now? Are you just looking to generate leads, sales, revenue for your business now? Or are you looking at the longer term play and trying to build a brand and build validation and credibility? If you're looking to generate sales or leads, focus on that. Don't focus on followers. Just create campaigns that drive those results. And the same principles we use for generating followers apply to that as well. But I want to see people that, again, going back to the return on investment, if you're focused on immediate attribution to revenue, then go off and get it. And focus all of your efforts on, how do I make this sale? How do I generate this customer? How do I generate this lead? Because with revenue and with profit, that will give you the ability to then reinvest into building a social following. Now, if you're looking at building social followers because you're an author, an artist, a musician, an athlete, an actor, where that's going to have a different impact on your business, whether that's creating enough clout and credibility where you can get a strategic meeting or a strategic partner or a record deal or whatever that is, then yes, focus on social followers. And there's different growth dynamics for different platforms. So for example, Facebook, the growth dynamic is really around virality and shareability. So it's just putting your content in front of the right people, and it can be shared exponentially. Versus Instagram, at least what we found to scale and generate massive growth on Instagram, we distribute content out onto other channels and drive it back. Because Instagram is not built as a sharing platform, nor is YouTube. It's very algorithmic based of what gets to the explore page or what gets reach. And even today with Instagram, you can drive growth by hitting the explore page and going viral within the ecosystem, but it doesn't drive the type of growth that we see when you strategically place content on other people's channels and call out to go follow back to your channel. So that's where we've seen a significant amount of success, specifically with Instagram. YouTube, there's several different variables or factors. We have seen success of driving traffic from external sources into YouTube to generate views and subscribers. But one of the biggest variables and factors of success on YouTube is thumbnail and headline, and what that click-through percentage looks like when somebody's exposed to it, on top of that watch time of how long are people consuming your content on the YouTube platform. Now, that metric is becoming increasingly more important across every platform, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, because the name of the game is to keep you on the platform longer. Any content that is keeping you on the platform longer, they will seed to more people and more people because it's benefiting them greatly.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know you talked in different conversation about, you know, the 1,000 true fans that a lot of entrepreneurs talk about, but you're more like, hey, let's create a big audience first. Can you just touch a little bit on that?
Yeah, so the 1,000 true fans model is really well known, and I think it's a brilliant model. And people following that are typically, you know, doing incremental growth of just identifying those 1,000 core true fans and growing outward that way. I come from a different background, a different world, starting in the movie industry where you're trained to think big. You cannot go into a meeting and talk about 1,000 people. You can't talk about 10,000 people. You can't even talk about 1,000,000 people because it's not a big enough audience. Like, you're tasked with creating a brand in less than 6 months that needs to reach at least 100 million people. Not saying you're going to get 100 million people to buy tickets, but at least reach 100 million people to generate that awareness, to get enough people to go to the box office to overcome the large budgets, both on the production and the marketing side. So with that mindset, about through a friend of mine, Craig Clemens, that pointed it out to me because I didn't realize I was doing it. But the model is that I'm focused on is almost reverse of the 1,000 true fans. So I go wide, like generating 1,000,000 followers in 30 days. which those million followers are not my 1,000 true fans. I have to earn that trust and credibility with them to do that. But what I do is I leverage that large number next to my name to get on large podcasts, to get on television, to get book deals, to speak on stage. And that's typically where those 1,000 true fans come from. So it's not to say that between Facebook and Instagram, I had like 2.5 million followers. It's not to say that I don't have, I mean, they're all real followers. And it's not to say that some of those followers wouldn't buy products from me or aren't engaged. I just look at it from a larger, more strategic position of, okay, it's great that I've got these 2.5 million followers. And yes, they're engaging and some of them may buy a book or reach out to me, but I'm focused less on that and more about how do I leverage that in offline conversations to get strategic opportunities that can then fuel growth, those 1,000 true fans, or fuel the next book deal, or the next speaking engagement, or get me on a large podcast or television and things of that nature.
Yeah, that's awesome. And one last question for you, Brendan. What does success mean to you, and what's your definition of success?
It changes. I would say for me, success is freedom. It's freedom to do what you love to do every day. That's what my definition of success is. I don't need to be a billionaire to deem myself successful. I deem myself successful when I can do what I love to do every day.
That's awesome. And what's the first thing people that watched and listened to this should do in order to start growing their business and audience?
Get into the testing mindset. And the book breaks down that, but constantly be testing. Don't just keep posting content endlessly and not learning things. What I tell people is I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but I'll test anybody. That's what makes me successful. And if you can adapt that mindset and that process, you'll eventually be successful. You'll eventually find the answer. Where people fail is they try a few things, it doesn't work, and they stop. Or they try a few things and then they just go with what works best and they just leave it there even though it's not generating the results they're looking for.
Yeah, I love that. Brendan, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. If people want to connect with you, where's the best way to get in touch?
So they can DM me on Instagram at Brendan Kane. It's spelled BrendanKane. They can email me directly, bkane@brendanjkane.com. Or they can go, we have an offer where we cover the cost of the book. We'll send you the book for free. You just pay for the shipping of it. And if you go to freesocialbook.com, they can get access to the book as well.
That's awesome. We'll post the link. Thanks again, Brendan.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
And thank you everybody who watched and listened to this show off the I Love Success podcast. If you like what we do, please share this with someone that needs to hear this message in order to grow their social following and just learn a little bit more about life. Check us out at ilovesuccess.co and see you guys next week. Thank you.